How long do we wait for hope and history to rhyme? The line about waiting for hope and history to rhyme is language I learned from the Irish band U2. It actually comes from The Cure at Troy, Irish poet Seamus Heaney's adaptation of Sophocles' play, and I don't even know how to say this, but I'm going to give it a go, Philocetes. You know how to say it, anyone? Is that how you say it? Bono quotes it in what is perhaps my favorite U2 song, Peace on Earth. Let me explain. I just finished my doctoral studies in theology and culture at Emory University, and I'd taken a call to an old Swedish congregation in downtown New Britain, Connecticut. That fall, I'd received a gift copy of U2's album, All That You Can't Leave Behind, from a dear friend. The lead song from All That You Can't Leave Behind, Beautiful Day, was number one on the pop charts and won 3 Grammy Awards. Yet the song Peace on Earth, a song never heard on the radio, was the one that really spoke to me. It was December 2nd, 2001, and I was sitting in my car in the church parking lot. I'd arrived to teach confirmation for the 7th and 8th graders. Among North American Lutherans, confirmation typically requires 2 years of studying the scriptures and the Lutheran confessions, leading in effect to a functional graduation ceremony that releases youth from their churchly obligations. Cynical, I know, but all too true in the habits of many churches, including the one I was serving in New Britain. Desperate to try and make a connection with the youth, I'd stumbled onto a practice of asking them to bring a favorite song to play, and I'd improvise a conversation on the basis of the song, backing somehow into Bible or church history or doctrine. That night in early December, however, I was sitting in my car in the parking lot, the weight of the world laying heavily upon me. As I looked at the world beyond our small city, I felt a total loss of control. The war in Afghanistan, now a month into a major bombing campaign, seemed to me a huge mistake as a response to the September 11th attacks. Yet it was welcomed with raucous support by what seemed like a unanimous response locally, lockstep patriotic flag waving. On top of that, the second intifada was flaring between Israel and Palestine, and the day before, December 1st, a Hamas suicide bomber killed 11 teens and injured nearly 200 more in an attack in Jerusalem in a mall popular with youth. Youth just like I was preparing to teach that evening. I wanted to believe the Lord who came as the Prince of Peace, about whom the angels sang peace on earth and goodwill to all people. Yet the world I was living in the midst of was like Ezekiel describes, a world of stubborn hearts, a world of lamentation and mourning and woe. As I sat blankly staring out the front window of my car, the song Peace on Earth came on. Heaven on earth, we need it now, Bono sings. The song was written in response to a terrible bombing in North Ireland, just months after the Good Friday Peace Accords had been signed. The bomb set off in a commercial center of Omagh on August 15, 1998, killed 29 people and injured 220. Men, women, children, all out for their Saturday shopping. Bono almost chokes on the lyrics. Sick of all the sorrow, sick of the pain, sick of hearing again and again that there's going to be peace on earth. In a very touching, bitter, and difficult moment in the song, Bono recalls hearing of the bombing on Irish radio as name after name was read. They're reading the names out over the radio, all the folks the rest of us won't get to know, Sean and Julia, Gareth, Anne, and Brita. Their lives are bigger than any big idea. The line honors the dead while offering a none too subtle critique of the big ideas that provide fuel for the long-standing troubles in Northern Ireland. We could substitute the names of those killed in Israel and Palestine and the similar big ideas fueling the endless strife there. The less subtle critique in the song, its most bitter cry, comes in the form of Bono's complaint against Jesus, against God. The lament centers on the song of the angels sung at Jesus' birth, peace on earth and goodwill to all people. Jesus, sing a song you wrote. The words are sticking in my throat. Peace on earth. Bono's sick of hearing these words and faced with all the utter evil of the violence in Omaha and other places. He can't say them. The harsh ending recalls hearing the phrase peace on earth. Every Christmas time, but hope and history won't rhyme. So what's it worth, this peace on earth? And as I sit with the scripture text for tonight, I realize I have a complaint against Ezekiel, as Bono does against Jesus. To begin his career as a prophet amidst his people in exile in Babylon, God unsurprisingly tells him he will speak to Israel, a rebellious house, whether they hear or refuse to hear. And in a scene typical of Ezekiel's startling images, God tells Ezekiel to open his mouth and eat what he is given. A hand stretches out to him, and a written scroll is handed to him, written on both sides with words of lamentation and mourning and woe. Ezekiel does eat the scroll and writes that in my mouth it was sweet as honey. But Ezekiel, how could it be? Did it not taste bitter? Did not the words stick in your throat? Did not your despair of the stubborn human hearts, the stubborn human people with whom you were called to preach, stick in your throat? Peace on earth, I remember saying, tears welling up in my eyes, not at all prepared to face the teens soon to arrive for their confirmation class. And tonight, too, I feel the outrage, the tears, the scroll sticking in my throat. St. Lydia's friend, Rabbi Marissa, who serves at CBST, wrote this on Instagram. Today, seeing the absolutely terrifying escalation of the bombardment of Gaza, here's what I'm doing. I'm writing to my elected officials to ask, please, the U.S. has the power to make a difference if we act quickly. Please do whatever you can to negotiate a ceasefire now, to negotiate a release of all the hostages. There are already so many dead children, so many terrorized families, so many people in deep, impossible mourning, and the escalation of the devastation will not make a single Israeli or Palestinian safer. So I join Rabbi Marissa, seeking peace, seeking to wrestle down a world where hope and history rhyme. Seamus Heaney's version of the ancient Greek play runs like this. History says, don't hope on this side of the grave. But then once in a lifetime, the longed for tidal wave of justice can rise up and hope and history rhyme. This is my prayer, my work for this tidal wave of justice, this rhyme of hope and history. We share the sermon at St. Lydia's, and I invite you to hold silence together, and then when you hear the bell ring, to share your stories and experiences sparked by the scripture, by my reflections. We share stories and not opinions at St. Lydia's, both because Jesus told stories and stories help us to know one another more deeply. We begin in silence, more or less.